Ensuring the energy transition is a smart transition is critically important and can be achieved through the use of digital tools such as advanced metering infrastructure and artificial intelligence. However, in order for these tools to add maximum value, the data and analytics provided by them must be harnessed in an equally smart way, and the risks and vulnerabilities associated with smart infrastructure must be effectively managed. I had the opportunity to learn more about this topic at Enlit Europe when I sat down to speak with Sozon Kokonaris, VP of Sales, Eastern Europe at Trilliant. Sozon provided insights from real-world examples, demonstrating the benefits of smart technology and explains whether AI is really making a positive impact on the industry. I'm Pamela Larg, and this is the Energy Transitions Podcast.
Sozon, we're going to be talking about an important topic today, and that's how do we ensure the energy transition is a smart transition? And this is a big topic, but before we start delving into the nitty-gritties, tell us a little bit about yourself and about Trilliant.
Thank you, Pamela. As you mentioned, my name is Sozon Kokonaris. I'm the VP of Sales for Trilliant. I'm looking after the Eastern European market. That's a quite particular market, basically, compared to Western Europe. And I'm with Trilliant for almost 10 years now. I'm in the industry for almost 20 years since I started my career. And in Trilliant, we are a solution company that we're looking to help utilities and cities to their energy transition journey by providing software, hardware solutions, and services. And this is our goal and objective.
You know, you mentioned that your focus is the Eastern European market. It would be quite interesting to get your insights. Is that very different to the rest of Europe? And if so, how?
It's different from the perspective that it's still, you know, in early stages of the energy transition. You know, Western Europe, the countries with stronger economic power, you know, they're progressing faster. And some of them, they are already in the implementation of the second generation of advanced metering infrastructure already, when a lot of the countries in Eastern Europe are still in the early stages of the first generation of this energy transition.
Indeed, we are all starting from different starting points. So I think diving into the topic which we're talking about today, and that is how do we ensure the energy transition is a smart transition? Because at the end of the day, we need to become smarter, but are we not also becoming perhaps a little bit more vulnerable as well if we aren't careful? So yes, well, tell us, let's start with what is a smart transition?
What is a smart transition? It's a good question. Thank you, Pam. So energy transition happens in many different levels, basically, in the space. We see utilities installing smart meters and sensors into the grid. We see utilities, first of all, trying to transition from the traditional fossil fuel power generation into more renewable energy as they're trying to achieve their net zero goals. They're installing the smart meters and other sensors into the grid. Then we see cities replacing their streetlights with smart streetlights. We see water utilities replacing their meters with smart meters. And we even see business owners, building owners and building managers converting their buildings into smart buildings to achieve their energy efficiency targets. So we hear the word smart in front of many nouns, right? Grid, meter, street light, even building. But the word smart or smart grid is not a new term. I first heard it maybe 17, 18 years ago when I was working as a young software developer for GE Energy, now GE Vernova. What makes it smart? It's really, in my opinion, the wise selection of two things, of the right partners and the right technology. And you need to select partners that they have the global presence and the global experience and technologies that they're robust, scalable, and future-proof. And they don't just satisfy the current needs of an utility, but those of the future as well.
Fair enough. And you touched on some of the things that are becoming smart, which is really exciting. And I can imagine there's a great deal of value to be had from going smart and from digitalizing. Tell us a little bit more about that. Where does the value lie? I mean, you mentioned energy efficiency as well.
The value. First of all, you know, all this energy transition and all these smart devices, smart sensors that we add to our network creates a huge amount of data. And gathering the data just to gather the data, it doesn't mean much, right? So a lot of utilities, they start this digitalization with main goal, initial goal to satisfy their billing needs, to be able to bill the customer. But the data, when used properly and when you introduce the right tools, can help you achieve much more than just your billing goals.
Fair enough. But of course, with that value, as I mentioned earlier or alluded to, there's a certain amount of vulnerability that comes with it as well. You know, and here, of course, we're referring to things like cybersecurity. How do we overcome these vulnerabilities?
It's a very good question. Thank you for bringing up this, because, you know, one of the concerns that I personally have, but I think most of the industry professionals, is that a lot of utilities, especially, you know, in Eastern Europe, and we see it a lot in Middle East as well, they make their investment decision and procurement decision purely based on the cost of the technology, based on price, right? So it's imperative, in my opinion, that regulatory bodies like the European Commission take measures to ensure that we reduce the risk of being vulnerable to such risk as cybersecurity and malicious attacks.
So it seems as if you're suggesting it needs to come from a policy perspective first.
It needs to start from policy. Because if it's down to the business or the utility, of course they want to invest, you know, as little as possible, if possible, right?
So how do we change that mindset, though? Because, you know, cybersecurity is really, it's becoming such a critical issue. And we see how regularly these cyber attacks are happening. And, you know, obviously it's the protection of people's data. This is serious. How do we change that mindset and encourage investment early on?
It's not easy. It's a mindset. Maybe you start by reading books about mindset, you know, that they can help in many aspects. But it's not easy. A lot, they only take actions only after they get affected, you know. So I think that we need to start looking of examples and learning from other people's mistakes versus waiting for us to be affected before we take action.
Fair enough. So, Ozan, I can't have a conversation with you without touching on AI, which is obviously such a hot topic at the moment. But is AI actually helping us in terms of our energy transition? You know, are we getting it right? Or are we still in a massive learning curve in terms of deploying AI effectively in a way that can really help us?
Look, AI can really help. You know, its value and contribution to the energy value chain, it's huge, especially on optimizing energy efficiency and distribution. So we see that AI can be used, for example, for the detection of energy theft, that it's very risky for, it can cause hazardous situation and disrupt the distribution. With the use of AI, we can, and analyzing different data points that they come from the consumers, the meters that we install as part of this energy transition, we can then detect sources of non-technical losses and act on it by doing site inspections targeted site inspections without wasting time for unnecessary visits for false positive situations where, you know, there is not actual energy theft, you know. So, and this ensures basically can help minimize and protect the revenue of the utilities. We protect the revenue and we minimize the operational cost because we don't unnecessarily need to send people to do site inspection that, as we know, it's quite costly. The benefits and the cost savings then can be used to be reinvested for accelerating the energy transition and for also what matters for the consumers, improving the services to keep the consumers much happier.
So, Zon, when we prepared for this interview, you know, I was asking about case studies because at the end of the day, you actually want a real-life demonstration of how being smart is really adding value. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that.
I thank you for giving me the opportunity, right? You know, so we in Trillian, we are very excited that recently we had the opportunity to work with an utility in the Caribbean. And the particular region has a big issue with non-technical losses. It's more than 20%. The percentage of technical loss is more than 20% of the energy consumed. So as you can imagine, it's really big problem for them. And the same is the case for a lot of countries in Europe, including my native country of Greece. So we had the opportunity to work with the Caribbean utility and we analyzed the data we received for a subset of their customers. The utility goals was to identify source of non-technical loss, but with as little as possible false positives that would have led to unnecessary site inspections. So they provided data for 400 customers where it was known to be sources of non-technical losses, and 400 the data of 400 customers that was random. They might have or might not have, but they didn't know that they had, right? And we ran those data through our analytics as a service for non-technical losses solution. And the result amazed us and amazed the utility as well, because our model was able to detect the sources and classify the customers as high risk or low risk for non-technical losses with an accuracy of 80%. And that's way higher than what is the normal in the market. Speaking to one of my big customers in Asia, he mentioned that with his in-house build solution, his accuracy is just 30%. What this means is basically for every 10 visits on site that he does, only 3 actually they had non-technical losses. When by using the solution we provide, it will be only 2 out of 10 that will be a false positive. So this is the excited use case, and we are very pleased to launch this, you know, in this and lead Europe to launch this solution. And if any of the DCOs that are here today, they're interested in learning more and finding more about this solution, you know, you can find us in the Trillian booth. That's just around the corner from this hall. Me and my colleague Christian will be very happy to talk to you and let you know more about the solution.
Wonderful. I think I'm really glad that you could actually talk us through that, because it really illustrates the value of some of these smart solutions and that we can actually have a smart energy transition that is successful. So, Zon, it's been a pleasure. We are unfortunately out of time, but thank you so much for joining us.
The pleasure was all mine. Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Energy Transitions Podcast, brought to you by Enlit and Friends. That's a wrap from me, Pamela Log, and our producer, Kamo Motse. We hope you can join us next time. Visit enlit.world or subscribe for more episodes.